There was a couple who didn't have any children for 20 years. And then the woman became pregnant. Tremendous simcha for them. Simcha for the family. The whole town rejoiced. And then, in the 9th month, tragedy struck. The woman wasn't feeling well. She went to see the doctor. The doctor examined her and told her that it's not possible for both you and the child to survive. Only one of you can survive. You have to decide which one it's going to be. The husband right away said, "Let my wife live. She is the one that has to live." But the woman said, "No, we have lived 20 years without children. I want to leave over a child, a legacy, nitzchias. I'd much rather I die and the child should live instead of me." The husband finally agreed. And then the day came. The woman died. The child was born. A bittersweet simcha. The husband sat shiva. And right away, right after that, was the bris milah. Shloishim, and then right away the pidyon haben. But the wife had asked the husband that make sure the child remembers me. Make sure the child knows how much I loved him. I gave my life for him. I sacrificed for him. Always make sure to tell him about me. And the husband raised the child in this way, always telling the child what the mother had done for this child. The years went by and it came the day of the bar mitzvah. Another bittersweet day. It was the yahrzeit of the mother, which of course coincided with the bar mitzvah. The father took the boy to the Beis HaKvaros, to the kever, before the suda. He took 10 people and the boy said Kaddish. But the boy flew through the Kaddish. No emotion, no feeling at all. The father was in tears. He said, "How could you say Kaddish like that? She gave her life for you. Don't you care at all?" And the son said, "I know, you've told this to me. I understand, but I cannot relate at all. I never knew my mother at all. It's too difficult for me." Says the Dubna Magid, the Beis HaMikdash was the aim of Klal Yisrael. And when it came time to destroy Klal Yisrael, the Ribbono Shel Olam instead took out his anger on the Eitzim Vavodim. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed instead of Klal Yisrael. But the Beis HaMikdash, the Ribbono Shel Olam, wants us to remember the Beis HaMikdash, not to forget the Beis HaMikdash. But what happens? It's difficult for us. We never knew the Beis HaMikdash. We never saw the Kedusha, the beauty. We don't understand what the Beis HaMikdash was. We feel we can't relate. We're just like that boy in the story. But relate we must, because Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes something terrifying in the Siddur. He writes, "Il molei loy hoya el oven zev yodenu. If there was only this chet in our hands, shein misavlin al Yerushalayim, that we don't mourn Yerushalayim properly, dai laharich goloseinu, that is enough to lengthen our golos." And this, he continues, is the cause of all our troubles in golos. And that is why that they're all trying to destroy us. Lefishi yotza ha'ovel melibeinu, because mourning has left our hearts. And b'yichud, particularly, b'yoyim tisha b'av, mi v'mi hamis avel, who is actually mourning, v'nenach and groaning, al churban abayis, who is actually crying about the churban abayis, mi'amamakele, from the depths of the heart, kamo demois nishpochis, how many tears are shed. And particularly, he says, the rest of the year, nobody even notices. So we must relate. Tisha B'Av, we just read, is Korolai Moed, is called a Moed. Has a Shem of a Yontef. We don't say Tachlin. Every Yontef has an Avodah. What is the Avodah Sayyim of Tisha B'Av? Pesach, the Avodah Sayyim is Matzah. Sukkahs, you have Arba Minim, you have Sukkah. What is the Avodah of Tisha B'Av? And Shlomo HaMelech writes in that famous Pasuk, Lakoil Zman, there's a time for everything. Eis Livkois, there's a time to cry. The Ace Lishoik, and a time to laugh. Says Rashi, when is the Ace Livkois? When is the time to cry? That is Tisha B'Av. The Avodas Hayoyim on Tisha B'Av is to cry. But why do we cry now for an event that took place over 2,000 years ago? And the Rambam writes in his Sefer Torah Seidah that Plato came to the great Churban Abayis. He had heard about it. And he comes to the ruins of the Beis Mikdash, and he sees Yirmiyahu HaNavi crying over the ruins of the Beis Mikdash. He says to Yirmiyahu that I've heard about you. You're a brilliant mind, a great scholar. Why are you mourning over a destroyed building? And secondly, even if you have reason to mourn, it's over, it's past. My dahava hava, it's no use crying over spilt milk. Move on. Yirmiyahu HaNavi said to him, you're a great philosopher. You must have questions that you cannot answer. And Plato told him over some of the questions. Yirmiyahu answered them. And he said to the answer to all these questions, I would get by coming into this house. That is where I got my wisdom from. So you can understand why I cry. Yirmiyahu HaNavi did not answer the second question. It's past, it's over. What's the use of crying? Rabbi Yerucham explained there was no point answering that second question because a goy couldn't relate to the answer. What is the use of crying over the past? Because that is what has kept us going. Kivsa achas, one little lamb among shivim zevim, among 70 wolves. How did we accomplish what no other nation has accomplished in history? All the other nations, all the other empires are lying in the dust heap of history. The Roman Empire, the Egyptian Empire, the Syrian Empire. But Klal Yisrael goes on. What gave us that strength? It's holding on to the past, mourning what we lost, because then, and only then, will we look to rebuild. Moshe saw Hasneh Boer Boesh. The bush was burning in a fire. Moshe saw in the bush the tzoros of Klal Yisrael. He saw the fires. He saw the fires of the Inquisition, the auto da fe of people being burnt alive. He saw the fires of the ovens of Auschwitz. He saw the ovens of buses being bombed, of rockets hitting houses. All those fires Moshe Rabbeinu saw. But he also saw Hasneh Einenu Ukol, that Klal Yisrael, the bush, could not be consumed. Klal Yisrael will never be annihilated. Because Hashem is speaking to Moshe from the bush. Hashem is there with us in the fires, in the Torah. Imoi Anoichi B'Torah. But that is as long as we remain attached to the Ribbono Shel'olam, with a longing to bring back that closeness, that relationship. We mourn, we reflect on our loss, and work to rebuild. Yes, Eis Livkos, it's a time to cry. The Pasuk continues, Eis Lischoik, it's a time to laugh. Rashi says, when is the Eis Lischoik? The Eis Lischoik is, La'osid Lovoi, Oz Yemolei Schoik Pinu. Then our mouths be full of laughter. If we're Mekai in the first part of the Pasuk, if we're Mekai in the Eis Livkos, then we will get to the Eis Lischoik, that time to laugh. The New York Times, January 1st, 2000, its Millennium Edition. It had a special three-page pullout. On the first page was the news for that day, January 1st, 2000. On the second page was the news from 100 years earlier, the news from January 1st, 1900. On the third page was the news Friday, January 1st, 2100, predictions of what would happen in 100 years' time. Talking about people taking vacations to the moon, different wars that would be taking place. But strangely enough, at the bottom of that page was written a little advertisement. Candle lighting time for Jewish girls and women will be 4:23 this Friday afternoon. And people wondered, why was that advertisement at the bottom of the page? That advertisement had appeared in the New York Times beginning in the year 1990. In 1990, a philanthropist felt he wanted to spread ideas of Yiddishkeit. The Jewish women and girls should light candles Friday night. He paid $5,000 a week to put that ad on the front page of the New York Times. And he did that for 5 years, till 1995, and then he stopped. It wasn't repeated again until that edition in the year 2000. Why was it at the bottom of the page? Somebody called up the editor of that page, an Irish Catholic goy, and asked him, why did he put the ad there? And he explained, We were looking for ideas, what to predict, what's going to happen in 100 years' time. But obviously, we have no idea at all. We wanted some truth on the page, something Emmett at least we wanted. One thing we knew for sure, Jewish girls and women will be lighting candles on Friday night. Hasneh einenu ukol. The Klal Yisrael will never be annihilated, but that's only as long as an ace livkois. It's a time to cry if we mourn and connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam. But are we really mourning? Rabbi Yaakov Emden told us there's something missing in our mourning, and that is prolonging our galus. It isn't real. If you look in the dictionary, it is mourning is described. The definition: outward symbols of sorrow, a period of time in which signs of grief are shown. But that is not our avodah today. There's much emphasis on the outward mourning. We have the halachas of the 3 weeks. They get more intense, the 9 days, Erev Tisha B'Av itself. But most of those halachas are not even chazal. They were added in later years for us to give us feeling, to have a hargosha, to create more emotion, for the chitzonius to affect the pnimius. The purpose of the halachas is to feel the loss, but instead people try to avoid the discomfort. A cappella music, make a siyum every night to be able to have fleshiks. Somebody mentioned to me this week, they're waiting for the 9 days to be over. In camps, they have sometimes on the 10th of Av, they stand around the pool, music blaring, they count down. The music blares, they jump into the pool, it's Chatzos. You would think the Beis Hamikdash was rebuilt. On the 10th of Av, it was still burning. It isn't over until the Beis Hamikdash is built. This isn't a halacha only on Tisha B'Av. Orach Chaim is the halachas of daily life. It begins with waking up in the morning. And you have all the halachas we go through with tzitzis and tefillin and chakras, benching, anything you need is there. The first halacha after getting up in the morning, number one is Royal Lechol Yerushimayim. It's fitting for anybody with Yerushimayim. Shei Meitzer V'Doyeg Al Churban Beis Hamikdash. To feel distress, to worry, to be concerned about the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. For every single day of the year, the first halacha. How much more so at this time of year, we have to feel it. How much do we have to feel it? There's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch that we have to take knives off the table when we bench. Mishnah Berurah quotes the Beis Yosef. One of the reasons given is because there was a man who was benching. He came to Avnei Yerushalayim. He felt such tzar over the churban, he stabbed himself. So we remove the knives from the table. I don't think the halacha is because of the worry that people will stab themselves. It's a reminder. When we take that knife off the table, it reminds us of how the feelings can be, how emotional a person could get, and it makes us think about the churban. Eli HaKoyen, the Kohen Gadol, he was told that the Yidden are losing the war. They're suffering. They're fleeing. They're dying against the Plishtim. Chofni and Pinchas, your two sons have died. V'orein Elikim Nilkecha. And the Oren has been captured. V'ahi Giskirois Oren Elikim. It was when they mentioned to Eli that the Oren had been captured. V'yipol Malakisei. He fell off the chair and he died. What caused him to die? Not the tragedies of Klal Yisrael, not his own sons dying, but when he heard about the Oren Elikim Nilkecha. That is the feelings that he felt. Reb Moshe Sternbuch writes that Reb Shua Leib Diskin lived in Yerushalayim and never ever went to the Koisel. Why didn't he go to the Koisel? Anshei Yerushalayim say, he felt he can't go there. If he sees the Mokma Mikdosh, if he sees the Churban, he would faint, he would pass out. It'd be dangerous for him to see that Mokum. He understood what it means to feel the Churban Abayis. Ace Livkois, it's a time to cry. If we don't mourn for the past, we won't be Mesaken. We won't correct what needs to be fixed. The Beis HaMikdosh was our connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was dwelling among us. It was a relationship. And we have to mourn the loss of that relationship. But why cry? Why can't we just be sad, upset about it? Why is the avoda dafka to cry? So if a person goes to a chasna, and you see somebody, he's walking around with a big smile on his face. He looks so happy with himself. So you say to somebody, that must be the father of the chasna. He looks so content, so happy. He says, no, he's not the father. He's somebody who loves a good meal. He likes a party. He's really enjoying himself. And then you see somebody dancing wildly in the middle with the chosn. You say, oh, that must be his brother. He's really dancing with him like that is a brother. He says, no, he hardly knows him. He just loves to dance. At a chasna, it's very hard to tell who are the close relatives, who are the ones who care. That you can't tell at a chasna. But Rachmana Litzlan, when you go to Levaya and you see people there, people who are crying copious tears, people sobbing, crying uncontrollably, you know they are the close ones, they are the relatives, they are the ones that care. There is nothing that demonstrates closeness, there's nothing that demonstrates a relationship more than tears. Kinnas begins tomorrow with the word Shavas, and Shavas sums up what our feelings should be, a standstill, an emptiness, a void, summing up life without the Beis HaMikdash. As that pasuk continues, it's a quote from Eicha. And the pasuk in Eicha continues and says, Shavas Mesois Libeinu, gone is the joy of our hearts. Nepach Le'evel Mecheleinu, our dancing has turned to mourning. It is not possible to have real simcha without the Beis HaMikdash. Yerachmiel began the Miami Boys Choir in the early 1970s. He wanted to make a concert in Yerushalayim. So he went to the Badatz to get rishus from them to make this concert. The Badatz asked him, Maze concert? What is a concert? So he said to them, you know, you make people besimcha. So they asked him, Eze simcha? What simcha? Simchas chosna kala? Simcha al siyam ha-toyah, simchas beis ha-shoyevo. He got the message and he made the concert in Tel Aviv. In other words, simcha without a beis ha-migdash, that simcha, those simchas are few and far between. Yosef and Binyamin meet up after 22 years. They haven't seen each other and they cry on each other's necks. Chazal tell us, Yosef is crying for the Churban HaBayis in Binyamin's Chelik. Binyamin is crying because of Mishpan Shiloh, which is going to be in Yosef's Chelik. Ask Rav Shimon Schwab, where did Chazal see that they are crying for Churban? Maybe they're crying tears of joy. It would seem, it would make sense, they're crying tears of joy after meeting up after 22 years. Rav Shimon Schwab explains, tears of joy make no sense at all. Tears are an emotion of sadness. Why would somebody cry when they're besimcha? So he explains that when the Beis HaMikdash was around, then there was emes simcha. Once it was destroyed, simcha left this world, was gone, mesoyis kol ha'aretz. This world became a sea of sorrow. In that sea of sorrow, there are islands, little islands of simcha that were zoiche to have sometimes, be it a siyum, a simchas chasnakala, a simchas yontav. But they are just islands. And when a person has too much simcha, it overflows, it goes over the banks, it goes into that sea of sorrow. And that causes those tears of joy, because a simcha cannot be complete without the Beis HaMikdash. If Yosef and Binyamin are crying on each other's necks, how could they be crying tears of joy? Tears of joy make no sense at all. The only way it makes sense, tears of joy, is if they saw benavua that there's going to be a churban habayis. But la'asid lovely, there will no more be tears of joy. The Medrash says, Amoch Hashem dimo me'al kalponim. And the Medrash says, Afilu dumois shel simcha. Tears of simcha, tears of joy we won't have anymore. We won't need those tears because the simcha will be complete. In the old days, people understood how much we have to mourn. They will sit on the floor every night and say Tikkun Chatzos. And that is why it was necessary to make a minhag, to put up signs when it comes to Adar. Mishenichtus Adar Marbin B'Simcha. People needed a reminder that there's times that they have to be B'Simcha. Nowadays we need signs. Mishenichtus Av Memaita B'Simcha. It is so hard for us to relate. Rav Gifter, he was able to relate. After the Six-Day War, he went to visit Eretz Yisrael. A Talmud of his took him to visit the Mekomos Kedoshos, which now was possible to go and visit. He took him to Kever Rachel. He took him to the Kotel. And afterwards, he asked Rav Gifter, which one inspired you more, Kever Rachel or the Kotel? Rav Gifter said, the Kotel. The man said, his Talmud said to him, you're the first person to say that to me. Every other person I asked that question to always said Kever Rachel. And Rav Gifter said, I can explain it to you very simple. Because you take people to Kever Rachel. They think of Rachel, of Mama Rachel, Mevako al Boneho. They can relate to a mother crying for her children. They remember their mother, that they can relate to. But to relate to Churban, I learned in Tells in Europe. I saw yeshivas kedoshes, kehillos kedoshes. I understood mazda yeshiva bocha. I saw what an edel is, a yomim niroim. I saw gedolei Torah, v'chol ze nechrav bavineinu. All of that was gone. I saw Churban. So when I stand in front of the Kotel, I see the Mokam HaMikdash in ruins. I'm able to relate. For me, it means something. I can relate to Churban. Yirmiyahu HaNavi, quoted in Eicha Tomorrow, said, "Mi yitein roishi moyim." I wish my head would be full of water. Yirmiyahu HaNavi understood the power of tears. Yirmiyahu's head, full of nevuah, full of kedusha, full of Torah. He was willing to exchange all of that for a fountain of tears because he understood true tears can bring geula, can bring from an eis livkois to an eis lizchoik. Why? Because it demonstrates our desire for a relationship to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sadly enough, we don't even realize what we are missing. We don't realize what real simcha is. David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Eshpoich lefonov sichi, sarosi lefonov agid. He's telling the Ribbono Shloim, and we repeat over that capital very often. We tell the Ribbono Shloim about our tzoras. And then David HaMelech continues a little later, Hakshiva listen al rinosi, listen to my cries, to my tefillas. David HaMelech is using a very interesting word, a word we see in Shever Brachos. Gila, Rina, Titsa, Vechedva. Rina is a lashon of joy. Why is David HaMelech saying, Hakshiva El Rinosi? Why is he using that lashon of joy? The Dubna Maggid explained with a marshal. There was a man watching two children and they were dancing for joy. They were so excited. He goes over to them and he asked them, what's the excitement? What are you so happy about? They said, because our mother told us that tonight for supper, we're getting an incredible supper. We're each going to get a whole roll to eat. And this man looked at them. He understood never how sad, how impoverished this family is. David HaMelech says to Ribbono Shloim, look at us in this world. We think we have simcha. We have no idea what simcha is. Without a base of Mikdash, there isn't real simcha. Hakshiva al rinosi. Listen, look to my joy. Look what we're calling joy. And you'll understand, nebuch, how impoverished we are. Mishalei ro'a simchas beis ha-she'eva. Somebody never saw the simchas beis ha-she'eva. Loi ro'a simcha me'yomav. He never saw true simcha. If we would realize, if we would understand what we lost, we would cry incessantly. The world without Beis HaMikdash You can compare it. It's like a chasna, celebrating a chasna without the color there. David HaMelech says in Kapitel Chav Beis, Keili, Keili, Loma Azavtoni. Ribbono Shleilam, why did you leave me? Rochek Mishuasi, Divrei Shagosi. The simple pshat is that my salvation is so far from my cries. But you could understand the pasuk a little differently. I'd like to bring it out. The story. I once had somebody doing some carpentry in my house. Mr. Fisher lived in Muncie. And he told me that the night before he had had supper with a friend of his. And they were reminiscing about their days in Auschwitz together. He told me he had survived Auschwitz with his carpentry skills. And they're discussing over the steak supper. One time they were sitting in Auschwitz. They were eating their rations, a little piece of hard bread. Something, of course, which left them starving even after they ate it. And one said to the other then, one day we're going to get out of this Gehenna and we're going to have a whole loaf of fresh bread to eat. That was their dream, to be able to have a whole loaf of fresh bread. And they were discussing this over a steak supper. In other words, they couldn't fathom such a meal back then when they were in Auschwitz. David HaMelech says to the Ribbono Shleilam, Rochoik Mishuasi, I think what good is going to be. I think about it, and I have ideas. I have ideas of how much simcha there's going to be, how wonderful, how beautiful, how great it's going to be. But whatever I think it's going to be, Rochoik Mishuasi, Divrei Shagosi, what I'm crying for, what I'm asking for, I'm asking for a loaf of bread. It's going to be so much more than that, and going to be a lot more than a steak dinner as well. Reb Shimon Schwab said that to explain somebody what life was like with the Beis HaMikdash would be trying to explain to a blind person how traffic lights work. But on the other hand, because it is so difficult, in our door, if we in our door take the morning seriously, we in Chutz La'aretz, not living under the threat of rockets or tunnels, Bashemai Mimal or Oritz Mitochas, not worried about pogroms or blood libels, not starving to death, our most difficult decisions in life, which supermarket to shop in, which pizza store, which appetizer to serve at a chasna, which camp to send our children. If in our door with those problems, if we can cry at least a whimper, a groan, a kret, in our generation, that can bring geula. The Ksav Sofer brings this out from a medrash. The medrash of the Pasuk in Tehillim. Yosichu bi yoshvei shoar, onaginois shoisei sheichar. The medrash makes the comment on that Pasuk. Achrei achlu v'shosu, after they've eaten and drank, kol sorchom all their needs. Yoishvim la'aretz, they sit on the ground, v'oimrim kinnas ve'echo, and they say kinnas and echo. Explains the Ksav Sofer. What the Medrash is saying is, when a person has kol tov, he eats, he drinks, is full, is satiated, he has a geshmak of life. And that person, la'acha achla v'shosu kol tzorcham, yoishim ba'aretz, they sit on the ground. They say eicha, and they say kinnas, and they cry their eyes out. They mourn for the Beis HaMikdash. That is what's going to bring geula. So when we look, it's an eis livkois, and we have many reasons to cry. Eis livkois, it's a time to cry, because we lost that connection, that closeness with Borei Olam. It's an eis livkois, it's a time to cry, because we no longer have real simcha in the world. We live in this sea of sorrow. It's an eis livkois, it's a time to cry, because when we look around, we see the tzoros of Klal Yisrael, particularly in Eretz Yisrael, living under the threat of those rockets, the threat of those tunnels. That pasuk in Eicha, which we just read, kol oivai shomu ra'asi, all our enemies, hear what's happening to us. Sosu, they see all our difficulties, they rejoice at it. Anti-Semitism has reared its ugly head in Europe. Things are difficult for Klal Yisrael. Rabbi Yaakov Emden told us that the problems, all these problems are caused by not mourning the Beis HaMikdash properly. We have the opportunity to end the Golus with our tears. Yes, it's truly an Eis Livkos. But if those three reasons aren't enough, there's one more reason we can cry, and that reason everybody can certainly cry from. And that is the well-known story in 1967, in the Six-Day War, when the soldiers broke through to the Kaisel. And now the Kaisel, that Mokum HaMikdash, was now in Jewish hands. Anytime anybody wants, can go and dispel at that Mokum Kodesh. And the soldiers saw the sight of the Kaisel. They all burst into tears. They felt such emotion, such inspiration. And they were all crying. One soldier turns to the soldier next to him and says, "You can surely understand why I'm crying. I'm a religious Jew. It means so much to me to see and to have this Mokum HaMikdash, this holy place. But you're not religious. What are you crying about?" And the soldier said to him, "You're right. I'm crying because I look around me. I see everybody so emotional, so upset, so broken, so inspired. I'm crying because I'm not crying." That is truly a reason for us. A reason for all of us to cry. If we're not crying, that is truly a reason to cry. I'd just like to end with a word from Rav Shach. Rav Shach asked what seems to be a very obvious question. In Shmoneh Esrei, we go through brachas looking for Geula. We say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Teka b'shoifa gadol l'chereseinu. We beg HaKadosh Baruch Hu, blow that great shoifer, that shoifer of Lasid Lavoi. We have a bracha of Yerushalayim Erucha Berachmim Toshav. The Ribbono Shel Olam should bring his Shechinah back to Yerushalayim. Es Tzemach David Avdecha. V'zechazena Inenu B'Shuvcha L'Tzion Berachmim. Bracha after bracha asking for Geula. So why is it? At the end of Shemoneh Esrei, we're finished already. Yirotzo Mufanecha Sheibone Beis HaMikdash. Why are we asking at the end of Shemoneh Esrei again to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash? We have asked it so many times in Shemoneh Esrei. Rav Shach explained with a story. There was a king who one day a year, he would grant requests to people in his kingdom. A man came forward before the king and he cries copious tears. And through his sobs, he says to the king, "Please, please help me. My child, my little child is dying. I don't have money for doctors. I can't take care of him. Please, please help me. Save his life. Get me doctors." The king says, "You don't have to worry." He tells the people, "Write it down. We'll take care of your child. Anything else?" The king says, the man says, "Yes. Recently I lost my job and I'm unemployed. I have no means of making a living. Could you help me get a job?" Job, and the king says, "Of course, we'll take care of it for you." And then he says, "One more request, please. My daughter's an older girl, she needs a shidduch. Can you help me find?" He says, "We'll speak to people for you, we'll do what we can." And then the man leaves. He backs his way out. He is now leaving, is about to go out the door. He turns back to the king, and he cries out to the king, "Please, please, please, don't forget my child. Please, he's going to die. Please save him." He's crying there about his child. He doesn't ask about his job. He doesn't ask about his daughter. He asks what's closest to his mind. He cries about his child. He wants his child to live. We go through Shemoneh Esrei and we have many personal requests. We ask for health. We ask for panosa. And many individual requests we ask for. And then, of course, we also ask, we want the Beis HaMikdash to be rebuilt. And now we finish Shemoneh Esrei. And when we finish, we now back away from the king. Oysa Sholim Rimrimov. And as we back away, we turn once more to Ribbono Shel Olam. We say, "Ribbono Shel Olam, please. Ribbono Shel Olam, the thing that's close to my heart. Please, please. Yirotzo Mufnecha. Sheibone Beis HaMikdash. B'mehirah Yameinu."